A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
And this morning, as promised, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Happy New Year, Teresa.
Happy New Year, Danny. I haven't talked to you since last year.
I know.
Where okay, you're gonna get that so many times today. Sorry.
It's good to have you back. Always fun to have you on the radio, and our listeners love it too. In fact, we encourage our listeners, if you have, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get really busy with questions, and so let's hear from you sooner rather than later with any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. I know we talked about being a master gardener the last week or so about that, and I can't remember, and I should have jotted it down. Are there still availabilities for somebody to jump in on that program?
Not for the Master Gardener program, okay. but there is for the Pro Hort course. So people can sign up for that until January 9th. And if you just go out to the Arboretum website, the very first article is how to join up for the Pro Hort course. And you'd be taking the same course as Master Gardeners, but you wouldn't have to be doing any of the volunteer work.
Okay. Yeah, that might be a good New Year's resolution if you're interested in gardening. There's no pressure.
Nope.
Learn it on your own time. Call us or text us 651-461-9226. All right, what are master gardeners or regular gardeners? What are we doing this time of year? Are we waiting for seed catalogs, or what's the deal?
We're waiting for seed catalogs. We're ordering seed catalogs. We're perusing seed catalogs. We're writing down our lists from seed catalogs, and we're ordering from them. Master gardeners are also planning their garden. So they're figuring out what they're going to plant, where they're going to plant it, how many they need to order, if they need to order seeds or if they're ordering plants. They're getting all that. They're dreaming of their gardens. And that's what master gardeners are doing. And if they do have gardens outside or any trees or shrubs, they're watching their trees and shrubs to make sure that the animals aren't eating them. And if they find some damage, they put up some chicken wire or hardware cloth to protect it. If you are using any of the repellents that work on a smell, you'll need to replace those more frequently than you think, because they do dissipate quite quickly in the cold, snowy air. So they do disappear. They fade very quickly. And change it up. If you've got deer issues, don't just use the same product all the time. Maybe every other time you change it into something else. You might use this product with this kind of a fragrance, and then the next time you use a different product with a different fragrance or a different chemical that it's working on. Animals get used to the same smells, and what you're trying to do is just keep them on their toes or their hooves or whatever, so that they're a little wary of coming into your yard, so they go over somewhere else where there aren't those funny smells, and they know they're probably a little safer.
Do these products work as far as the deer repellents or rabbit repellents, these sprays that are marketed, do they work?
Some of them will work, and you'll have different responses from the critters in your area. If everyone else in your area is using the same product, that probably will impact how it hits the deer or how it hits the rabbits or whatever. They say, oh, this whole area smells like rotten eggs. So it's nothing to be worried about. So that's why you need to kind of change it up all the time. And if you know your neighbor's using a certain product, then use something different. Even if they say that works really well, you may want to just change it up occasionally and just keep those animals a little more wary of your yard, especially if your neighbor isn't changing it up.
What I'm thinking about, who's hoping for spring to arrive early, but what about growing things in the house now? I'm thinking next year I want to try maybe different tomatoes, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When do I start? Again, you can tell I don't have a green thumb, but when would I start something like that indoors?
Well, for most of those products, you're probably not going to start them till March. But what I would do is I would go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. The second article down is starting seeds indoors. It gives you some tips and ideas about when to start seeds, how to read seed packets. So if your seed packet says, you know, sow indoors, a month and a half or 6 weeks before the last frost, then you need to calculate when the last frost is in your area, back up 6 to 8 weeks, and then you're into probably March to go ahead and plant that inside. You have to remember that when you're planting inside, the longer that plant grows inside, it might be a little more stressful for it because they get big and leggy and tall and skinny and kind of weak because we don't have good light in our homes. And you don't want to have this long, you know, you don't want to start a squash plant inside and have it be a 4-foot vine that you're having to untangle from its neighbors just because you wanted to start your squash early. So starting early is not a good thing. You don't normally get bigger plants and healthier plants. It's just best to do it on time or even a little bit later and then wait till the ground's nice and warm outside before you plant things, unless you're planting those cool season crops. You can grow a lot of stuff inside too, hydroponically, even just growing the baby plants. You can do that too if you just want to grow the little tiny sprouts and things inside the house. So there's a lot you can be doing in the house growing plants. Yeah. And
but by all means, for whatever for great reading, and maybe you can do it for your own research, and you mentioned it, get on the University Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Great place. There's so much good
great
work that our
yes.
friends have put into that. Teresa, let's grab a phone call this morning.
Okay.
Joe checking in from Victoria. Joe, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Yes, the subject is a Korean Arctic Jade maple. Last year I lost one, and I guess it was pretty tough on plants last winter. And I was told I probably should have been watering it during the winter months because it warmed up. We've had some warmer days in the last couple of weeks. What can you say about watering in young trees during winter time?
Okay, Joe. So I'm sorry you lost your plant last year. Last year was harder because we didn't have a snow cover. So when we did get those warmer days, the soil may have thawed out a little bit. Also, going into the winter, a lot of people don't remember to water their plants until the ground's nearly frozen. You don't need to water them till they're soaking wet. You just want to keep them hydrated because once the ground freezes, the roots can't access any more water from the soil. Normally, with our trees that lose their leaves, the deciduous ones, that's not a big deal. It's more the evergreens that struggle during the winter because they are continually losing moisture through their needles. So this winter, the ground is frozen. There is snow cover, so you do not want to water the plants outside. If the ground is frozen, you don't want to water. And you can tell if the ground is frozen, even if it's bare, if you're walking on it and it feels like concrete, the ground is frozen. Or you can actually take your trowel out there and just just dig into the soil a little bit, and you'll realize, oh, this is really hard. This is frozen. So you want that ground to be frozen, and then you don't water your plants outside because the water just runs off.
Very good. I'm looking at a text that says, if I take the Pro Course, can I claim another title like Master Gardener, but some other title?
No, but you can put it on your resume or your, you can put it on that. So as like you've taken another course, like you've taken the fertilizing or the weed killer course. I know that's not what it's called, but you've taken those chemical courses or you've taken the landscaping course or you've got another course under your belt. So it's not a degree. You can't call yourself a master gardener because master gardeners are volunteers. But you can list that you have taken the ProHort course, yes.
All right. And that would be
that's
worthy.
That's a good question.
It is a good question. And if you have more, any kind of a lawn or garden question, we're awaiting yours. And we have more to ask Teresa as we move through this Saturday, first Saturday of a brand new year. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And if you're just joining us this Saturday morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you. And either by phone or by text, as usual, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at the next text. Yeah, you can call too, by the way. You don't have to just send a text unless that's easier. 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Teresa, I use a large container of cayenne pepper to deter critters. Do you think cayenne hurts any plants, shrubs, or trees?
It probably doesn't hurt the shrubs or trees. I don't know how it would impact the insects in the soil, so I don't know how that would impact the beetles and all the grubs and everything, or the good grubs that we need in the soil and all that. But go ahead and continue to use it if it works. Remember, you may want to switch it up a little while for something else, especially if the critters get used to how you're using it. But it shouldn't, if it depends on how you're using it. If you're spraying it on, always test that spray on a shadier day or in the late afternoon after the sun's gone past on that plant. If you're spraying on leaves, depending upon what you're using, what oil or what sticker agent you're using, that may burn the leaves. So you want to be aware of that.
You know, I think, and you probably agree with me, that in all the years that we've been doing a lawn and garden show here on CCO, over the last few years, there seems to be an increasingly more interest in dormant seeding. Would you agree?
I think a lot of people are asking about it. I don't know how deep the snow is out in your yards, but if you need to overseed, you could try doing that, especially just before we get a snow or a rain that will help those seeds sink down into whatever remaining snow or whatever remaining grass you happen to have in that area and hide it a little bit from the birds because the birds are really hungry. So just be aware of that when you're dormant seeding. And if you go to the Extension website, again, extension.umn.edu. They have a wonderful article on buying turf grass. So if you can still get the grass in the at the garden centers, you can go in there with a little more information about what type of grass you might want to put in certain areas, whether it needs to be shade or more resilient in the shade, or whether it can take full sun, high traffic, salt tolerance. Those are things you need to consider with your grass. And just for you folks who dormant seed every year, think about why you have to dormant seed there every year. Is it because it's shade? Then you know you're going to have to do that forever because grass is a full sun plant for the most part. If it's just because you had construction or something like that, that's a one-time thing that happens. But consider, why do I have to dormant seed every year in this area? Can I change the situation so I don't have to do that? Or am I willing to just put up with having to dormant seed or seed in the fall every year? Just want to make it easier on you.
Well, what about this product? And again, we have some places where they sell excellent grass seed.
Excellent. And
outside of the big box stores, you know, actually greenhouses. But what about the dense grass seed? I've used some, and it seems like it's rare that it grows.
The dense shade?
Yeah. The grass seed for dense shade seed. Maybe it's the type of soil. I don't know.
It could be the soil. So you could get a soil test. That could at least tell you if your soil's decent in that area. The fescue just comes up. That's usually what you're planting in the shade. And that's a little bit of a thinner grass. The blade is a little bit thinner. So it may not look as fluffy and as full and as robust as the Kentucky bluegrass. It has a slightly different look to it. But again, dense shade is really hard on grass. And so even dense shade, the fescue is going to struggle in a real dense shade. And you could talk that over with a master gardener by going to Ask a Master Gardener on the website, on the extension website, or talk it over where you go to pick up your grass seed. They should be very knowledgeable, and maybe they can give you some more tips.
Oh, I'm sure. On that. Yeah. Those great, great garden centers.
We have wonderful garden centers here. We really do.
Large and small, as a matter of
fact. Yes, exactly.
I'm looking at a text that's, and we get this quite often, maybe it's the time of the year. How do you get rid of fungus gnats? I've seen them in the windowsills by the plants. Also, one or two have gotten farther away in the house. Tell for new listeners, what the heck are those critters, and how do you get rid of them? Where do they come from?
Where do they come from? They're magical. They will look like fruit flies. And normally you will find them when you go over to water your plants or you walk by your plants, and all of a sudden these little fruit fly things are flying up. They seem like they're fruit flies, but they're really fungus gnats. And that's GNATS if you need to research it. What they are is they're little, they're flies, and then they lay eggs on the soil, in the soil, on the very top or near the top of the soil, and then the larva hatches, and the larva crawls through the soil, and it helps to it eats the decaying plant matter in your soil, so it's helping with the composting, so it's good in that respect. Too many can actually impact your plants, but that's normally not what you're dealing with. You're just dealing with the annoying fungus gnats flying up in your face. The soil needs to be slightly damp, always on top of the soil, for those eggs to hatch and the little larva to pupate and then become little flying fungus gnats, which then mate, lay more eggs, etc., etc. So if you can dry out that soil a little bit, that will really help. Let the plant go a little bit dry. You can actually even top it with the soil with a small layer of sand. The sand dries out faster than the soil will, so the soil remains damp for your roots of the plants, but the sand where the eggs would naturally be dries out too fast, so then the larva can't get in. They only live in the top, you know, 1/2 inch of the soil, so you don't have to put a thick layer on. The extension website does have some more information on fungus gnats. I think they even have some pictures for you if you want to look at them more closely without them flying up your nose. You can actually look at them. But we do get that question a lot, especially in the winter. Our houses, we may overwater our house plants just because we think they need more water than they might. But don't over or underwater your house plants just to get rid of the fungus gnats. Figure out how you can let it dry out a little bit, and that will help too.
Yeah, it was an interesting question. I think I don't think we've ever had it. Are grow lights a good investment?
They can be if you're growing plants with flowers, or if you're growing vegetables that you want to flower, like a tomato or a squash that you will eventually want to get fruit or out of. So the grow lights are a full spectrum light. They're normally more cool to the touch, so they can be placed very close to the plants. If you are starting seedlings don't technically need grow lights, but they do need bright light. But again, if you're trying to get to the point where your plant will be having to have flowers or be having flowers for fruit, you will need a full spectrum light. And so grow lights could be a good investment. They can be more expensive, so you do have to consider that. But sometimes you could get spot grow lights for that special African violet or that orchid, which usually don't need extra lights, just a bright window. Or you can get long shop lights, the 2 and 4 foot lights.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of bulbs out there, a lot of choices.
There's a lot of choices, yep. Yeah, and if you go to a garden center, ask them. They will have more information for you, too.
Absolutely. Teresa, hang on, please. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and we'll have about another half hour of lawn and garden availability. You can ask Teresa your question, either by phone or by text. Love to hear from you. 651-461-9226 from Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden question today. Of course, either by phone or by text. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. You and I were talking just briefly before the weather about the classes. Tell us where and when, and what are we talking? What kind of classes are we talking about, Teresa?
Well, you asked at the top of the hour, what master gardeners are doing. We're also taking classes, even if we've been a master gardener for years. So, if you go to the extension website, way down at the bottom of the page, they will give you events, and there's a nice event out in at First Lutheran Church on January 17th. But then what I like is there's a pollinator series, and it's a free webinar series. So that means you'll be listening to it on your computer. And the cool thing is if you're, I think it's during the daytime, lunchtime. So if you work or you're not available at that time, they will send you a copy of it so you can listen to it later. But it's all about pollinators. So you'll find out about what are soft landings for native bees. You'll find out the latest bee research, and then pollinator habitats in action. And there are 3 different classes on January 26th, 27th, and 28th. They're free webinars, so you can sign up if you want to donate to the Bee Lab. That's wonderful, but it's not necessary. But these are great classes that you can take. There's also wonderful, you can go to the extension and ask a master gardener if you do have questions that come up, and you can contact a master gardener and send them up to 3 pictures via email, and then they'll get back to you and get you an answer. So master gardeners are working all year long for you, and we're taking classes all year long, and we're dreaming about plants all year long and talking about them. We master
almost
gardeners.
Like a almost like a recertification.
It is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn garden question this morning, of course. This listener has 2 clumps of trillium in my backyard, they say. When's the best time to divide and how?
Oh, trillium. You know, I'd be very hesitant to divide them. They need a lot of special things in the soil. That soil is very important, so you'll need to take a big bunch of the soil with them when you divide them and try to put them in the same location. They may go into a dormancy for a number of years, so you might think they're dead. They could be dead, but then they just could be dormant for a number of years as they get used to being in that location. I would definitely, you don't want to move them when they're blooming, and most trilliums bloom earlier in the spring. So I would say after they get done blooming, then move them. You may want to do some research on it because they're very tricky to move and divide.
Okay. Another lawn question, and I think I can relate to this one. If there are still leaves in the lawn because they did not drop until the first snow, or somebody didn't get rid of them in some cases.
It happens.
Can I dormant seed? I think it's a good question. If you've got a layer of leaves and then the snow, what about dormant seeding in that case?
If you can't get most of the leaves up, if the leaves are a very thick layer or a very full layer, if you can't see, say, 80% of the ground, I would only overseed in those areas where you can actually see the soil or where you know there's not a thick layer of leaves if you're dormant seeding on top of snow. The soil, the leaves will block the seeds from starting. They're a barrier between the soil and the seeds. So you'll have less luck in those areas if you've got a lot of leaves left on the ground. And that may mean you just wait till next August or September to overseed that area, and you do what you can in that area during the summer to help your grass be as healthy as possible.
Okay. Listener says this, Thanksgiving and Christmas cacti have not bloomed yet, usually start blooming in October or November. What am I doing wrong?
They might not have had a difference of enough daytime temperature for the Christmas and the Thanksgiving cactus. They need a difference in temperature between night and day of about 10 degrees, so they may not have gotten that, because if I remember the fall, it was a really weird fall, and it was just weird. So they might not have gotten that. If you can get that in your house somehow, maybe near a window that stays a little cooler, but it won't freeze, that's good. The Easter cactus actually depends on daylight hours to trigger blooming. So that was probably a temperature thing. And if you moved it, if it was outside and you moved it and you knocked all the flower buds off, it may have just skipped that cycle then for this year.
Okay. Good morning. Texter says, my question is that I have a Rio Diplodinia outside plant that I have brought inside this year. Some of the leaves are turning yellow and falling off. What to do? Big question. Am I overwatering or underwatering?
Yes. You could be either. Both of those things result in yellowing leaves. When the leaves start to yellow, just take them off. You don't need them to grab any more nutrition from the rest of the plant. Do check the water that you aren't overwatering or that you aren't underwatering, and then it's not in a draft. Sometimes we put them near heaters, or we put them near the front door, or where you might have the back door that opens and a big brush of cold air comes in. That can impact the plants too. But I would just check your watering. You remember how you watered in the summer, how you left the soil. Did you leave it dry out between soil waterings? Did you keep it slightly moist? You want to try to imitate that as much as possible in the house. And not being outside, they may need a lot less water. However, our homes are very dry, so they may need more water. You have to figure out what your ecosystem is in your house and how you can mimic what was going on outside.
Teresa, a listener said, I received two poinsettia plants at Christmas. Can I keep them growing? I've never done that before.
Oh, they make wonderful houseplants.
They do.
Absolutely wonderful. Yes. Mm-hmm. They may lose the red leaves, so then they may just turn green. They often will put on quite a lot of growth in the house, and then you can set them outside in the summertime, and they will just get big and bushy. I think last week we had a lady who had big, bushy poinsettia because it had gone outside and it got nice and big for it. In Mexico, where they're native, where they come from, they can be tall shrubs or like almost a short tree. They can get so big. So our little, 1 foot poinsettias are kind of puny, actually. So yes, you can grow them into a beautiful, beautiful bush, a beautiful shrub, a big house plant. I've grown them sometimes where they get 2 and 3 feet tall. So they can. It's very easy to do, actually. And the Extension website has a great little article on that, on the house plants for holiday plants.
I know personally you have furry and feathered friends that you live with.
Mm-hmm.
Are there plants that one should not buy if you have dogs, cats, birds, whatever in the house?
There are. Anything in the Easter lily family is deadly to cats. Just deadly. It can kill them very quickly. If you have daylilies outside and you have a dog, that can kill your dogs. I've had daylilies when I had dogs, and my dogs didn't eat the daylilies, so it's fine. But that can actually hurt our dogs. Birds nibble on things, so you have to be careful of what plants you have in the house. The ASPCA has a really good little list on their website if you're thinking about buying houseplants. If, however, you have a cat or a dog or a bird that won't get to those plants or that just is not interested in nibbling on plants, and this goes for children too, if they're not going to be curious and nibble on them, you're probably fine, but you have to know your pet. So yes, and like cyclamens are quite dangerous for our pets inside. Those are the ones I can think of. I know African violets, the dogs and cats can eat them if they want to. It's absolutely no problem.
Well, which one plant did you say that can be really dangerous for cats?
Cats, the Easter lilies. So any of those kind of lilies, like even if you get lilies in an arrangement, a floral arrangement, if your cat sniffs it, gets the pollen, or even just nibbles on a leaf or a petal, that could kill your cat. I mean, they're extremely dangerous. Yeah. So, if I don't know what the levels are, but I know that they're very dangerous. So you do have to think about that. If you're bringing anything herbaceous into your house or even, sticks, some sticks, you wouldn't want to probably bring in a ewe because I think that could hurt your dog or cat if they're chewing on it, or your bird. But a pine would probably be okay, but you want to double check. Cedar is not good for some of the animals. So you have to, if you have a pet, you've got to kind of research this stuff and just be aware. And if you do have something brought in and your pet suddenly becomes ill, get them to the vet or call the poison control or the vet right away and let them know that you do have this plant that they may or may not have gotten into.
Yeah, good point. Interesting. Yeah. All right, Teresa, hang on. We need to take a bit of a break here. We have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we do have some texters we can help out as well. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830 WCCO. And good morning once again. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, still answering those lawn and garden questions. You know what I have not asked you about is what's happening at the Arboretum these days.
Oh, there's fun things. I think it's tonight. There is the Wolf Moon Snowshoe because it's the first full moon of the brand new year. It's called a Wolf Moon. Again, you can go to the conservatory. The brain just went blank there. The conservatory, and you can actually see some beautiful flowers, some orchids and things in bloom. They're kind of between things right now, but there's still a lot of art on the walls. There's a wonderful cafe there, and there's the wonderful gift shop where you can buy books and gardening stuff, and it's just gardening stuff that's so professional. Gardening things and books. And maybe if you got one of those wonderful gift certificates over the holiday from your loving family, go spend it, and pick up a good book or some bric-a-brac or something that touches your soul.
But if you've never been to the Arboretum, check it out.
You'll be back.
You'll return.
You'll be back, yeah. And if you go to the Extension website, there's an article on selecting trees that you could plant in the spring. So if you look at that and you want to actually see what those trees look like in winter when they're full grown, you could head out to the Arboretum because the 3 mile path or the 3 mile drive may or may not be drivable, but you can walk it. And there's a lot of other things you can do at the Arboretum to get the kids out and use up some energy.
Well, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. Helen is calling in from Mayor this morning. Helen, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
My question is, I have a bush that has wooden branches on it north of my house that needs to be trimmed because it's too close to the house. And is it cold enough now to, I don't like to trim it in the summertime when it's in the growing stage, but is it cold enough now to trim it?
Do you know which bush it is, Helen? Do you know what, is it a lilac or a mock orange or an azalea or rhododendron?
No, I really don't know. I know it has green
leaves. Okay. Does it flower in the early spring?
Pardon?
No flowers? Okay.
No,
so most of those plants then that don't flower in the early spring, yes, you can trim them now. You can prune them now. When you're pruning a bush, think about taking only about the maximum of one quarter of it off at a time, because it needs all those leaves to photosynthesize and feed it in when it does come out of dormancy. So go ahead and you can trim that now. You could go ahead and trim it at the end of the month, but it's going to be a little bit warmer this week, so you could try it now. Yes. If something blooms like a lilac or rhododendron or a anything that blooms early, mock oranges, you don't want to prune those now because they have their flower buds already set. And if you don't care about the flowers, then you can prune them. But most of us grow those plants for the flowers in the spring, so you don't want to cut those flower buds off right now. You would prune them right after they bloom.
Thank you, Helen. Listener said, I just moved into my new home, and it
Congrats.
Has two existing gardens. I'm not much of a gardener, so I need to know about the care of existing asparagus plants. I did not cut back the asparagus before it froze. Should I cut it back now or hold off until spring?
You could cut it back in the late spring. So if you like the look of it up above ground, and we call that winter interest, for lazy gardeners like me, I label a lot of things winter interest so I don't have to clean them up and they just tip over and Mother Nature takes care of them for me. But if you like that look, sometimes there's seeds in there, there's places for birds to hide. That's called winter interest. So you can start to cut those down, maybe the end of February, beginning of March, while the ground's still frozen, so you can get out there and cut without trampling on any of the crowns that are out there. The Extension website, extension.umn.edu, has wonderful information on growing asparagus. And I want to say congratulations on your new home. Lucky you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congrats. Our listeners, as you know, we have some of the smartest listeners around, no doubt about it.
Yes.
This one concerning fungus gnats that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. This listener says, I have recently been using funnels to water the plants below the surface and the gnats are gone.
That's clever. That's clever. Or if you water from the bottom, like African violets and things like that, that would be good idea too. As long as that little bit of topsoil stays dry, that's a good thing.
Excellent.
You guys are smart.
They are. You know it. I'm looking at another text. I think we have time for a couple more questions. This listener had my Christmas cactus. We're talking about furry friends at home. Mm-hmm. I had my Christmas cactus on stands by my bay window, and they'd be blooming now, but I have a new 8-month-old kitten that won't leave my plants alone. Knocks them over, digs in the dirt.
Yes.
Plants don't like the new area. Those plants don't like the new area. What am I going to do?
That's a real tough one because my cat will not allow any plants in the house. And this is the first cat I've had that's been that demanding. So if you can put them on in the bay window, maybe not on a stand, but maybe on the shelf and block that off. But I know kitties would like to lay in that bay window. It may just be that you will have to find a second best place for the Christmas cactus where the cats can't jump on it. The kittens do sometimes eventually just give up on that and they behave a little bit better. You could try rocks on the top of the soil so there's just not as easy to dig, but knocking things over and nibbling on them, You could try going to your garden center and see if they have something that you could like maybe spray on the plant that the cat might not like, but is okay if the cat nibbles on it. I'm not sure what that would be. It would be a taste thing. You could try a smell thing around, but then you might smell it because it's in the house. That's a challenge. And kittens can be so darn cute and so darn destructive.
Both. Our time, I know, is limited here, but a listener has heard you talk about, and I can't remember what you call it, but the listener talked about the plastic milk jug deal of growing plants and that. Would you explain that before we run out of time?
It's called Winter Sewing, S-O-W-I-N-G, and you can Google that. And basically, you'll take a milk jug, you'll fill it up with about, you'll cut it in half, so you have a bottom and a top. Throw away the cap, and you put about 2 inches of potting soil in there. You'll sow your, get that soil really wet, so it's really wet and muddy. Sow the seeds, usually one kind of seed per container. If you're going to put more in there, do some cardboard, like little walls in the soil, but usually you want to do like one kind of seed per container. Duct tape the container back together again. Go outside with a big knife and the soupy container and poke a bunch of holes in the bottom so that the water can drain out and the soil will freeze. Put this on the north or east side of your house or under a shrub where it won't be getting the hot winter south sun and west sun. And the plant will go through its stratification, or if it needs it, it's wonderful. Lots of seeds work, even though they don't need stratification. And then it will come up when it's ready. You then are able to plant those little seedlings out when you're ready. They're acclimated to the soil already, to the air. And the bunnies and the squirrels can't get to them, and the birds don't pull up the seeds because you're planting out the little plants. A winter sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G.
So you can just Google that, and you get more info that way. Yeah?
And now's the time you do it. It's great to do with the little ones, if you have little ones. It's a fun activity.
I'm looking at another experience, a couple of them. As far as cats, hang the plants from the ceiling so cats
that
can't
works.
Reach them.
Yes, that works. If they can't about, jump.
About cats eating plants, here's our final text. My daughter-in-law has created a terrarium-like containers around their house plants
yes.
so the cat can't get at.
That
so,
works too. Yep.
We've solved a couple of problems
too.
Today.
We have. And Lisa, I just want to say to all the Master Gardener interns that are coming in, good luck. You're starting your classes soon, and we'll welcome you and good luck.
Fantastic. Good luck to all. Teresa, thank you so much. And again, get on the university website. We always urge you to do that. Some great information. They put a lot of work into that. extension.umn.edu. Teresa, Happy New Year. We'll
Happy
talk soon,
New Year.
I know.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.